Well, you probably can't remember what we spoke about and looked at last time. I had to look it up myself, so if I had to look it up, I'm not confident that you can also remember what we looked at last time in the book of Colossians. But we looked about what it meant to continue walking and living in Him. And this morning we are continuing on that theme as Paul does, that we are not only to continue to walk and live in Him, but to be rooted, built up, established in the faith. And as you walk and live rooted, built up, established, taught, Paul says, a result of this kind of living, a result of this kind of life, the result of this kind of walk is that we would flow with thanksgiving, an attitude of giving thanks. As you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is like the attitude that covers it all. What Paul is expecting of these followers, these believers, not only have they received the gospel, not only have they received forgiveness, not only have they received adoption, not only can they cry out, Abba, Father, what Paul is looking for is an attitude of thanksgiving. And he explains, as we shall see this morning, hopefully, that if we have a life that is full of thanks, full of thanksgiving, it will be like a protection, a guard to our life. Paul is saying in the verses, there are people around who want to deceive you. There are people around who want to lead you astray. There are people who don't want you to walk and live in Him. And Paul says, if you have within your lifestyle, within your walk, an attitude of thanksgiving, it is an aid, it is a help to protect you from those who would want to lead you astray. So before we get to being thankful, let's just have a look at what Paul says. He says there, walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him. Rooted. I don't know what picture that gives. I don't know what goes through your mind when he says you are rooted and built up in Him. But for me, and maybe it's me, I thought of a tree. Oh, you thought of a tree as well, so it wasn't just me. And a tree has roots. And then I thought of Psalm 1:3. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose life shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. You see what Paul is saying, the follower of Jesus, who's walking and living in Him, has roots. Has something in his life. You know, they tell me that the tree with roots is not so easy to push the tree over. It's not so easy for the tree to be destroyed. And what Paul is getting at, if we would only live in Him and walk in Him and be rooted and have roots that are firm and long, when the liar comes, when the robber comes, when the deceiver comes, because we are rooted, he ain't got such an easy job to persuade us to turn our backs on Christ. See, the follower of Jesus has roots. He's full of the Spirit. He's fruitful. And the teaching in Colossae, and obviously he's telling this to the church there in Laodicea, he wants them to have roots so that they won't be an easy pushover. You know, in Colossae, there was people who were trying to get them into legalism, trying to get them to worship angels, trying to use superior intellect. And what Paul is saying is this, continue in your walk, continue in your life so that the roots are formed and they go deep. He says, keep to the teaching that I have given you. Teaching is part of the roots. The second illustration Paul gives is built up, rooted and built up. Well, built up is a picture of a building, isn't it? A strong building. Now, a tree has to have roots. A building has to have a foundation. And this is what Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is telling us, that there are forces around that want to prevent us living for Jesus. There are forces around that want to prevent us living in the Spirit, full of the Spirit. There are forces around that don't want us to live in the power of God. And Paul is saying this, be rooted like a tree and be built up like a house with a very good foundation. And I thought about Jesus. And Jesus talked about the wise and the foolish builders. The foolish built upon the sand, the wise upon the rock. And when the storms came, only the one that built on the rock stood. Jesus explained that the one building on the rock built on his words. Not just listening, but putting them into practice. Jesus said he is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and the flood rose. The stream built vehemently against the house, and he could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Did you notice what Luke says? You don't find this in the other version. He says, dig deep. Dig deep. How do you dig deep? How do you get roots? Paul tells us in these verses to Colossae, it's what you've taught, it's what you believe in. And he wants us to be strong. And he said already that they are of good order. This is a strong congregation he is teaching. These are firm believers. But he's saying, you need to dig deep. You need to continue walking and living in him, being rooted, so that when storms come upon the building, now we think of storms as trials and tribulations, and it is. But you can also look at the storms as the schemes of the evil one, deception, false worship, false teaching, superior spirituality. And what Paul is saying by the Holy Spirit is this, that if we have a life that is rooted, if we have a life that is built upon the rock, when the enemy comes, the house will stand, the tree will stand, because you are rooted and built in him and you're continuing to live in him. Do you see what Paul is saying? He is saying there are many forces against you, believer. Many forces against you, Christian. You can be spirit-filled, but you need to be rooted and built in him. Or the enemy might persuade you to follow a different Jesus. Oh, there is someone there who wants to rob, cheat, and destroy you. Well, how did Jesus describe this person? The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Do you see? You're rooted, you're built, and you have life, life abundantly. So when he comes to steal and kill and destroy your life in him, you won't buckle. You will stand. He can't defeat you. He can't get the victory over you because you're rooted in him by the word of God. You've got a foundation in him. The enemy can't win. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world, it says in 1 John. And we need to believe that. And we need to believe that when he died, he made a victory over the enemy. He is victorious. But it's not easy to walk and live in Christ. It's not easy to walk and live in victory when there is someone out who is trying to steal and kill and destroy. And he's very subtle and he's very clever. That's why the word of God says, be rooted and built up in him. It's for your good. It's so that you can stand when the enemy comes. Now, this might be my imagination. But trees and buildings, and you might look at me, trees are living. I think you'll accept that, won't you? Trees are living things. Buildings are too. That, some people might think, buildings? A living thing, really? Well, let me tell you, I used to work in the builders merchants. Buildings have to breathe. And if you don't allow buildings to breathe, do you know what you get? Damp, mould, condensation. So they are living. They have to breathe. And I want to say this morning that to be rooted in him and built up in him means we're alive. That abundant life Jesus came to give us. Peter says, come to him. as to a living stone, rejected by men and chosen by God and precious. You, as living stones, are being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We're living stones. Living stones being built together. And this is the picture Paul has given us this morning. And you don't really get it from the tree. You don't really get it from a building unless you see that we are stones in that building. Unless you see that we are branches on that tree. Paul is saying, together. It's together. He is picturing us together. We are the tree. We are the building. He says in the book of Colossians, we are being knitted together. Knitted together. And he is saying, and I'm sort of adding this as we go along, yes, we are rooted. Yes, we are built up. Yes, we are living stones being built together into a spiritual house. Why? Why do we need each other? Why do we need to meet with each other? Well, you might say, well, it's a good thing to do. It is. You might say, because we should, it's duty. Well, yeah. But what Paul is getting at is that there is an enemy who wants to deceive you, rob and destroy you. But when we are knitted together, when we are built together, when we are the living stones being built into a spiritual house, there is a strength there. A stone by itself does not make a house. It has to be built upon each other. And this morning I want to say, isn't it good to be with each other? Aren't we glad lockdown is no longer stopping us getting together? Because together we are built up in Him. Together we are rooted in Him. Together we are the living stones. We are alive. Well, I want to say this morning, as Paul is really saying to these believers and Christians, but there's one who wants, if he could, unpick the stitches, take the stone out, chop the branches. And he's very clever. And he wants to deceive with cleverness and intellect. And he wants to get believers away from meeting with believers. He wants to isolate believers so he can lead them astray. It says there in Colossians 2:8, don't let anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit according to the tradition of men. Another version put, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies. Another version, see to that no one takes you captive. Don't let anyone take you captive. Do you see what he's saying this morning? That we need to be alive and walking in Him, in the power of God, rooted and built up together. That way we cannot be taken captive. Because when we are taught the Word of God, when the true gospel is preached and taught, then we will have such a foundation and a root that, and a belief in the God that what Paul is saying is that we shouldn't be led astray. We shouldn't be taken captive. And then Paul gives something as a hint that should be in every believer. And it's a help, it's an aid, and it's a guard against falling prey to the enemy. And the hint that he gives is this, is that we should be a thankful people, an attitude of thanks. We should be flowing with thankfulness. You see, if we've been saved, adopted, forgiven, His Holy Spirit in us, we know His presence, Shouldn't that result in being thankful? Shouldn't that have within us an attitude of thankfulness? Paul wants all the believers in Colossae and Laodicea to be encouraged. He said in chapter 2 and verse 2 that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, attaining to all riches of the full assurance and understanding, knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. He wants to encourage them when he wrote the letter, and he wants to encourage us this morning that our hearts may be encouraged. Because you're not alone. You've got brothers and sisters in the Lord who are being knitted together, and they are a source of encouragement. They are a source that helps us to be thankful to God for what he has provided. You see, aren't we like a quilt joined together, growing and learning together in love? The way to get assured understanding about the mystery of God, Jesus, who is the treasure chest of wisdom, is to have our hearts knitted together in love with other believers who believe in Jesus Christ, who believe in the Word of God. It says in Ephesians that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Now this were the next bit. Really, really, let the Holy Spirit take this. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What a verse. Us together, rooted, built up in him, might together, as we are being knitted together, might comprehend the width, the length, depth and height of the love of God. What's Paul saying? He's saying you'll never get it by yourself. You'll never have a full understanding of God isolated from other believers. He is saying you will only comprehend with the saints to know the love of Christ. Because there's an enemy out there who wants to deceive you. And he'll deceive you in many ways. He's subtle and he knows you. So that you, with all God's people, will be given strength to grasp the breadth, length, height and depth of the Messiah's love. That's the Jews' understanding of that verse. It's a wonderful verse. And I want to say from the letter of Colossae, Paul is saying there was problems and there was difficulties. But he said, you're being knitted together. I want to encourage you. Get rooted. Get built. Get knitted together. Get built up as those living stones. What encouraged the believers? What encouraged Paul? And he was encouraging them. Maybe they didn't realize. Maybe they didn't understand. Maybe they didn't have a comprehension that spiritually they were being knitted together. Spiritually they were rooted and built up. And he said, because he says, continue in this. He wasn't saying, get started. He wasn't saying, begin. He was saying, continue. You're in a good place. You're in a strong place. And I want to give you encouragement this morning. If you don't see it, if you haven't understood it, understand this morning that we are being built together as living stones rooted in him. So that we're not led captive. So we're not led away into deception. Paul's concern is to encourage the believers. I say this in order that no one may delude you with clever speech. His immediate concern is to guard believers from delusion. Someone is trying to mislead them. What does Paul tell them? Wow, I'm going to have to wrap this up. But he says this. He tells first of all of his struggle on their behalf. And their hearts will be knitted to not only to Paul's, but to each other's in love. And out of this bond of love would grow a deep and an assured understanding of God. And out of this love and understanding would emerge a strong encouragement of faith. And the encouragement would be the power that guards them from the delusion of clever and deceptive speech. Sacrificial struggle leads to love. Love leads to an understanding of God. And understanding leads to a strong encouragement. And encouragement will guard you from delusion and deception. This is what Paul is trying to tell the Christians at Laodicea in Colossae. For though I am absent in the flesh, I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Paul wants them to stand firm in their faith against deceit and delusion, because he takes such great delight in their good order and firmness of faith. His whole ministry was aimed at this. The faith of the church is his joy, his glory. They were in good shape. So continue being built up. Continue to be rooted. Continue to be living stones. Continue to love one another. It wasn't something that was lacking. It wasn't something that was absent. It wasn't something that he was saying, you need to do this. He was saying, first of all, understand that this is happening, whether you realise it or not. So be encouraged by it. And then once you know it's happening, continue to do it. Continue. So he's encouraged them to live together in Christ, to be protected from the false teaching, the false worship, the false restraints, the false holiness, the false righteousness, the false spirituality. As you therefore have received Christ, Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Paul repeats himself, and I won't go through it, how he, where verses 6 to 8, actually the same as 1 to 4, he just wants them to know. He just wants them to know what's happening. He just wants them to be aware. He just wants them to understand that they were taught the truth in Christ, that they have received Christ, that they are rooted and built up and established in him, that they are to live a certain way, living in him. And then that way of life is defined at the end of verse 7, abounding in thanksgiving. Maybe that's a long-winded way to get to the point that we're all open to be deceived by intellect. So Paul encouraged them to stay to what they have been taught, to live in Jesus and to be thankful. And I haven't really got to the thanksgiving bit, have I? Because that's, and I've just noticed, I'm only halfway through. The next half is all to talk about the importance of thanksgiving. But to get there, I had to get to what Paul had laid out. To get to the thanksgiving part, we have to know that we are alive in him. We have to know that we are rooted. We have to know that we are built up as living stones. We have to know that we are knitted together. We have to know that that as Paul's encouraged, we can be encouraged of what God is doing amongst us. Paul was encouraged and he wanted them to be encouraged for what God was doing, building up these living stones as a house of spiritual praise and worship. And Paul says there's a way, you know, there's people who, because they don't belong to God, they want to lead you away from him. And he says, as we are knitted and rooted and built together, something that's going to help each believer is to develop, if they haven't got it, an attitude of being thankful. Thankful for what God did on the cross. Thankful for salvation. Thankful for forgiveness of sins. And if I asked you to make a list, the list would grow and grow and grow, what we need to be thankful for. And one of the things that Paul is saying there, are you thankful that you're being knitted together with your fellow believers? Can I say this? We don't get to choose who we get knitted to, if I can put it that way. God is the one who puts the people together. And God is the one who does by his Spirit the knitting, if you like. He is the one who is placing the stones together to build his spiritual house. And all he is saying is this: you want to know what I'm like? You want to know what the love of God is like? Well, meet together. Love one another. Be rooted. Be built up in him. And live. 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 You know, being a Christian is not meant to be boring. It's meant to be living. And it's meant to be living in victory. It's meant to be living in the power of God. And sometimes we can concentrate so much on what the enemy might be, could be. Well, let's just remember what Christ did on the cross. As we come to the table, as we come to the bread and cup, let's remind ourselves of his victory and give thanks, because we can live in victory because Jesus won the victory on the cross. And I'll have to talk about thankfulness next time. Part two. Father, help us to realize that we are rooted, grounded, built up in you, knitted together, as Paul says, living stones. Father, may we praise you. May we give thanks to you. May we live in your Spirit, full of your power. May we be effective to those we meet, because we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.